All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, October 16th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have a MLB showdown between the Dodgers and the Mets today. We have a four-game NHL slate, and then we have golf teeing off early tomorrow morning. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern. We do the show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in and get your questions answered. But with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. As a reminder, we do have our build review show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you ever want to get signed up, drop your DK username in the Office Hours channel. Let me know what sport and slate you want me to review, and I will add you to the list for the next show. So let's get SaberSim up. Let's get our questions in the queue here. Let's see. Looks like our first question came in from Bulldog. So we get this in here, and we got quite a few questions to get us started today. So happy to hit those up. Some build review requests. One from Sammy. Oh, looks like we have college football tonight as well. It's good to know. And we got a question from Ty. Got a follow-up from Bulldog. So plenty of questions keep us busy today. So we'll start at the top. First question, is there any general guidance as to how many showdown captain lineups we should attribute to a single player in order for it to be quote-unquote worth it? There are times where I may want to give a player a shot in the captain spot, but I'm not overly confident, so he only ends up with approximately five lineups depending on entry/slate size. Trying to determine if that's recommended, since even if he has a great game, I may not get value out of it with only five chances at a profitable lineup. Another way to ask this, any recommendations for how to spread out your captain spots so that you are diversifying but not throwing away lineups on one-off captains? Thanks. Okay, good question. So there aren't any like hard and fast rules, in my opinion, that you can use here. And we'll go over to tomorrow's NFL slate and just kind of talk about this. But you always got to think about captains relative to their ownership, right? This is the most important information that you can have, because I'm gonna use percentages and not like lineups. I know you were using lineups, but percentages make a little bit more sense to me. So I could have, two lineups, or I'm sorry. Yeah. So like in this 20 lineups, right? I got to have 10% of my lineups have Troy Franklin. I could also have 10% of my lineups have Alvin Kamara. Those two things mean very, very different things. Having 10% Kamara is way under the field, right? The field is going to have him at close to 40%, and I would be having him only at 10%. But if I have, Troy Franklin at 10%, well, I'm like 10x the field, right? His ownership is 1%. I have him in approximately 10 times more of my lineups than the field does. So just assigning, numbers or percentages isn't always good, right? You got to think of this from this leverage perspective, right? Leverage is describing if you are taking a stand on a player in favor or against, right? And we talked about taking stands yesterday on yesterday's show. So, this is something that Elusive Smoke talked about in his Millie Maker interview that Andy did. It's like, you don't need to have, 100% of a 1% owned player. You can have, 10% and get there, right? You don't need to be so over leveraged on a player who is low owned, right? So it's okay to only have, you know, 5 to 10 lineups with a player who is lower owned. You're playing the best five lineups that we're saying that, hey, you know, if you want to play this captain, these are the best five lineups that you could play with them. These are the best 10 lineups you could play with them, right? It kind of goes back to the idea of not maxing out a 150 max, where I'm like, hey, you know, you could play 10 lineups. You're just going to play your best 10 lineups, and you're not going to play your 11th through 150th best lineups, right? So it's kind of the same concept if you look at it from that perspective. So there aren't any hard and fast rules. Always use the leverage to figure out, you know, if you're under or over the field. And it's okay to only play a handful of lineups with a particular person at the captain would be my summarization of this answer. All right. Next question. In the new builder, when starting to up the min uniques, I've noticed when I want to do a -1, it does not fill back up the total of my original lineups I was working with, and always have to go back and add them versus the old builder. This might have something to do with the new setting. So I think I have an entries file for this. So when you have an entries file and you come into the build and you click this arrow next to save to contests, there's this automatically update number of lineups. I would try toggling that. You know, if it's off, turn it on. If it's on, turn it off. And see if that solves the problem. If that doesn't solve your problem, then come into the top right corner, go to report a problem, and let us know what you're encountering so we can troubleshoot it, identify the root cause, and push an update, push a fix in a future update. So that'll help us out. All right. This is a two-part question because I saw a follow-up. So it says, interested in your approach to tonight's college football slate. Only two games and such a concentrated pool of players expected to perform. Seems that any use of geo-meaner ownership filters very quickly eliminates 90% of the pool. In situations like this, do you still try to force the use of unique lineups at the expense of sim ROI and projected score, or accept that there will likely be dupes and just try to create the best sim ROI lineups? Follow up to this, which factors make you question contest sims projections of zero dupes for a given lineup in tonight's college football slate? The majority of my lineups have very high ownership in GeoMean, yet contest sim only expects a handful of them to have dupes. I feel like I should question that and assume that the lineups with ownership greater than 450 are going to be duplicated. Interested in how you evaluate this. I don't know too much about like our field lineups and stuff with regards to this question specifically, but I do think that you're on the right track. And let's just go to college football and we'll build some lineups. You know, we'll use this as like our build demo of the day. So Wednesday, college football, two-game slate. I would say anytime you're playing a two-game slate, three-game slate, you should 100% be accounting for duplication. And, you know, college football, like the amount of players you're going to use in the lineup is less. So that's even another reason to start doing that. And let's build 5,000 for this example. So let's come in here and let's just, it does look like a pretty concentrated player pool. We can even see this. I'm just going to download this real quick. So let's see like how many players have a projection over 3 or something like that, right? So come in here. Show me players greater than or equal to 3. So this is a really small player pool, right? 30 players here. I might even let in all the players, actually. So anybody with a projection over zero, I think it's pretty viable to do this. Oh, I said greater than or equal to. That's my fault. So players projected at all, it was like 51, right? So I would probably be leaving the player pool wide open for this slate just because it's so small. If, you know, some two, like if you come in here, right, look at the projections, look at the percentiles. If one of these, you know, players with projected for 2 points has a 95th or 99th percentile outcome, they could 100% be in the optimal lineup, and you're going to get such a huge ownership discount that you might want to do that, right? So I'm leaving the player pool wide open for this. I'm not filtering out anybody as a way of trying to be unique and get different from the field. The same way we play, you know, 0.5 projected players in showdowns, right? So think about it like that. So that's one thing I would be doing. And I'm going to go set up a contest sim. So the other things I would be doing are kind of what you said. And the truth is I'm not concerned about losing projection or sim ROI when it comes to adding my filters in. And maybe that's a leak in my process. You know, maybe I should be playing lineups that have a higher chance of being duped, but higher win probability. I'm not 100% sure, but I know I don't want to play like that. I know that when I win first, I want to try and get as much of the first place prize pool as possible, because winning first is hard enough as it is. And when I do it, I want to try and capitalize on that. We do see people take different approaches to this, so it's okay to come at it from a different angle. But here, right, I just ran my contest sim. I'm going to go and set up an aggregate metric, average ROI. So now I have three, projection, salary, ROI. Now what I would start doing is filtering these one at a time, right? So contest sim, ROI greater than zero. Going to take us from 2,800 lineups to 1,200, okay. Rename this. I'm basically building this the same way I would do like football. Okay, great. Ownership filter here. You know, I'm probably going to try and do, oh man, you could try 10%, or I mean like 20. No, this is too much actually, because we had 2,800. So I'd want to do something closer to maybe like 600 max. So let's get this down to like 390. Oh, I have to go up. Maybe like 425. 500 is not terrible here. 500 for ownership. We saw what the ROI did. Let's do some for projection as well. Lower this. Lower it more. Basically, in general, I think it's okay to end up with a low number of lineups in your pool on two game slates or single game slates or things like that, because, you know, you're kind of hunting for like the optimal or like a very specific combination of lineups and players from the game. And I think it's okay to try and be very specific with that. So I'm just trying to find a good GeoMe number right now. I think 45 is like fine for our example, maybe a little higher actually. Okay. Let's save that. Let's try 47. 47 seems good. All right. So I have geo mean, ownership, ROI, projection. You know, I'm just going to turn them all on, and I'm not really thinking twice about what impact they're having like on my set. Like we did, but you can check this, right? You know, what happens if I turn all these off? Well, our average projection is 126.9. Our average ROI is 28.7. Okay. Well, what if I turn them all on? So interesting, right? Average projection comes down about 5 points, but we're still at 27% ROI across the 800 lineups that are remaining. So basically what we've done is, you know, we're just approaching this from like a little bit of a different angle, but I think this is better. And the reason I think that this is better is because I think that, you know, and you could test this, right? I mean, this is another good like trial and error example, is do one build with all these filters, all this duplication stuff, and then do another build with none of it, and then enter 220 maxes and see how your lineups grade out across the two, right? So there's always ways to like test this stuff. I would still probably be approaching it this way based on the research that I've done into contest flashback and duplication and how that affects your post-contest sim ROIs. But basically, what I would recommend is like, let's see what contests are available. Yeah, so it looks like there's two first downs already, right? So like you can go play the first downs, you can play the dime time, the quarter. Looks like there's two dime times. Like get into some of these and start testing different approaches. But that is how I would do it, you know, the way I showed you guys. And I would be okay sacrificing the 5 points in projection while still maintaining a pretty decent ROI and coming at it from that approach. All right. Good question there. Next question, can you explain the aggregate metrics and how to properly apply them in a multi-entry slate? Thanks. So basically what we're doing is we are using the aggregate metrics to help us make decisions about if we want to change things in our lineups or not. Or if the changes that we're making are good, if they're too aggressive, if it's okay to keep going. So like an example here, right, would be I have 20 lineups. My average projection is 125.6. My ROI is 53.6, right? Maybe I want to figure out, hey, what happens if I take this top exposed player and I move them from 100% maybe to their pool, which is like 68. Well, I can see what happens to my metrics when I do that. Average projection barely moved and ROI barely moved. That would tell me that this change is fine. It's like, hey, if you want to make that change, that's okay. There are other lineups and combinations that keep your aggregate metrics high that you can play instead, right? Okay, that's awesome. So that was just one change, right? But what if I want to start using mini uniques? How does that affect me? And I can watch how the metrics change, and then I can figure out what's a good number to settle on, right? So like, which is down from 125.6. So I've sacrificed almost a point and a half of projection. And then I've also sacrificed, was that a different number? I think I was at 3. I've also sacrificed about 12% ROI. And I got to figure out, hey, you know, am I comfortable with the exposures and leverages? Basically, like, is this worth, you know, what I'm sacrificing, or do I not care about these leverages and exposures? I'd rather take the higher metrics, right? So this helps you to evaluate changes to uniques, to exposures, min, maxes, etc., and just give you additional data points to analyze along the way. All right. Question from Pope. Good afternoon. How can I ensure that I get exposures to certain NHL lines or power plays for certain teams? There isn't a great way to do this. You know, this would basically be more of like a feature request where we would like be revamping our team stacks for NHL. So right now it just says team stacks. It doesn't say like, you know, Blues, power play one, power play two, you know, EV1, EV2, EV3, EV4. That would have basically like a different set of team stack descriptions. So I could see how that'd be useful. So why don't I take that down as a feature request and just say, basically say like line stack exposure for NHL. So I'll take that back to the team and make sure that gets some eyes on it. Demetrius, would you recommend lowering min salary to zero for MLB Showdown and NHL main slates? I wouldn't. You know, I think that the default of 45,000 might be a little high for MLB Showdown specifically. I usually just lower it to 40,000. I like to have like a floor minimum salary in general. So that's like one thing. You know, I think it's just like a good guardrail in general. I wouldn't be lowering it to zero basically ever, which is a departure like probably from things I've said in the past. But I do think I think lowering it's fine. I think opening up the bandwidth is okay, but I don't think you need to drop it to zero. And it is like sport and slate dependent. You know, it's like, well, like an MLB Showdown is a lot different from like an NBA classic slate, and you can't like take rules and just carry them over, you know, across the board. So that part gets like a little hard, but in general, I think it's good to have like a floor here. Dimitri said, can you go over the CFB process? That's exactly what we just did. So if you missed it, you know, just rewind a little bit. We basically built lineups for the two-game college football slate. I talked about the filters and things I would be using on a two-game slate to account for duplication. So check that out. That should help a ton with tonight's slate. All right, Pope says, so let's say for a 20 max, should I put a min of 5% one line of each of the lines or guys I want exposure to, and Saber will probably correlate them together. Okay, so basically putting 5% to the players, it doesn't 100% guarantee you'll get them, but it is more likely, right? And what you can do is, you know, let's say that, let's build some lineups here. So we'll build like 500 lineups. You can also like spot check these as well. I think if there's any sport to be like more hands-on, it's probably NHL. So let's build 500 lineups. Lineups are finishing. All right, so let's say we're in here and, you know, we're sorting by projection and, you know, for whatever reason, we're not getting any wings from Boston and maybe I want to play them, right? So, I want to play Boston power play one. So I can come in here, set 5% to Pasternak, if I'm pronouncing that right. Well, then what I can do here is I could basically spot check this lineup or the lineups with him, and I could just click the filter icon and like, okay, what do these lineups look like? And like, this is a one-off of this skater, right? So like, okay, maybe I don't want a one-off and I could trash it. It's going to fill another lineup with him, right? It's going to be taking them from this pool, and I could basically do this until I find some type of stack that I'm actually comfortable with. And I accidentally favored that lineup. I didn't mean to. I meant to trash it. Or what you could do, right, is instead of doing it this way, so like I finally got a Bruin stack here. But another way you could do this, right, is you could filter for the player. You could go to the pool. And then you can just sift through these. So like, okay, I want to come in here and find, you know, a stack of Boston. And, you know, maybe I settle on this 178th rank lineup. Okay, then I just favored. Then I lock it. And then that makes sure that the lineup is now part of my 20 set. So this is like one way of targeting specific skaters, making sure that you have some lineups with them in it. And I can scroll down here and then that locked lineup will be in here, right? And I could go and find it. So it's one way of doing it, you know. Follow up, should I put a group rule in for certain teams or lines I want exposure to? I would say yes. You know, I would say that this is probably a good idea, or even using multiple builds and doing favorites and, you know, combining those lineups at the end where you're making sure like you're getting certain lines and certain exposure to players and then you combine them all. That's another good way to do it. So one of those two ways is probably going to get you closer to the result you're looking for. And Chandler said, can you just create groups to make sure they are together? Yes, you can. But the problem is that groups are like all or none. So it's going to say like, you know, use these skaters. Well, then now they're going to be in 100% of the lineups. So then that's why I was saying like do the favorites, because you could be like, okay, I'm going to use these skaters. You know, I want them in 5 lineups and I'm going to do that in build 1. And then in build 2, I'm going to, you know, do another team that I want. And then that's 10 lineups. And then maybe the other 10 lineups, I don't care. And then I'm going to do a third build with just 10 lineups, whatever SaberSim is saying. And then I'm going to take the, you know, the 5 lineups from this one, the 5 lineups from that one, the 10 lineups from the third, put them all in the favorites. And now I'm ready to fill my contest, right? And if you're in here, right, and like, okay, I need 10 lineups. And then you want to send those to the favorites. What you do is you come to these 3 dots, you click save to favorites. It's going to take these 10 lineups. I'll let you know, and then put them all over here. All right. Next question. Can you touch on late swap with NHL and what adjustments, if any, do you make for each swap? What if ROI is showing negative? Do you filter for greater than 0 or blindly trust the Sims? So I would not use a ROI greater than 0 filter in late swap basically ever. One thing I've been doing with late swap is if I did a late swap demo, I think on Monday, where I like went like contest by contest, showed like the best way to late swap. And let me see if I can find that real quick, because it was pretty like in depth about late swap best practices. All right. Live, I think it was Monday, so that'd be the 14th. Build review. All right, so anytime you guys go back to like a past office hours, if you come to the description and you click more, we're going to have timestamps, you know, basically showing what the questions were. So I'm almost positive this last question on Monday, can you cover mini uniques for late swap? I actually showed you guys like how I think it is optimal to late swap. If I could find this real quick. Yeah. So I did this late swap demo and I'll link this hyperlink so you can go straight to this point in the video to watch it. But basically what I do in my late swap is I'll go contest by contest and then I will view what the ROI of that contest currently is. And if the ROI is negative, I will leave min uniques at 1. If the ROI is positive, I will adjust the min uniques until I've settled on a min unique number where I haven't sacrificed too much projection or ROI to get to that min unique. So I want to maintain diversity in contests where I'm doing good to that point. But if I'm doing bad, I just want to try and optimize for the highest ROI to get some of my money back or equity back in that contest. So I'll take a more aggressive approach in contests I'm doing bad in and a little bit more diversified approach in contests I'm doing good in. And that is how I would be late swapping for any and all sports, is taking that mentality across the board. Chandler said, in my mind, late swap only happens if there is news. Do you late swap each slate no matter if there's news or not? So it depends, right? So for NHL, if you guys are on, we have live fields. So if you like go to the contest tab in NHL, you go to this gear icon in the field lineups, you're going to see use live fields is on. So what this means is that as slates start, we are taking in the information available to us and we are rebuilding ownership. So basically what happens here is, you know, say some player is projected for, you know, 20% on Pittsburgh. Well, when the slate starts, maybe that player comes in at 30%. Okay, where did the other 10% come from, right? That has to come from other skaters in the contest, right? So we are taking in the actual ownership of the players. We are rebuilding the rest of the ownership for the remaining games on the slate and getting a clearer picture of what the ownership is going to end up being. That is a reason to late swap at every swap window. So other than that, you know, I would be looking, I would be late swapping for like line skaters changing lines or, you know, players getting ruled out, but the line changes are going to be obviously like the biggest one. So those are good reasons to late swap as well. All right. Good stuff there. Let's see if there are any additional questions in Discord. And taking a peek here. No more questions in Discord, but we do have one in the YouTube chat from Relic. When filling multiple lineups in late swap, it is not averaging the contest sims, right? Or is it using individual contest sims for each one? So going back to this example, so the way I understand it is that it would still be averaging them, which is why I've decided to go like contest by contest. So, I mean, I'm not going to like play the clip, but I do want to find like little screenshots. So basically what I'm doing here is I'm going to my contest list. I'm selecting one contest, sorting by target contest ROI, and then filling that one and then moving on. And then I'm either doing this by prize pool, by fee. Sometimes you can see current winnings and prioritize it that way. Relic said, I got the opposite answer. This is the opposite answer I've gotten from other SaberSim staff. So this is why I'm trying to get down to the correct answer. Just wanted to triple confirm. So I'm not, I might be wrong, right? If you heard this from like Scott or somebody, I would trust that over my answer, right? Ultimately, there are like a lot of moving pieces here sometimes. So I could be wrong. So if you've heard this from like from Scott or somebody, you know, that is the best source to listen to. I can check with him to make sure that's happening right. You know, this intermodal that we have, because we've talked about some of the changes we're making to late swap ahead of NBA, it looks closer to direct fill. So, you know, the way direct fill works is with the target, right? So just being careful there. This does allow you to be a little bit more hands-on with your uniques as you go, right? Because if you're in late swap, you can only use, you know, one unique number across the board. But if you're doing it this way, then you could have, you know, one unique for some contests, you know, two, three for other contests, depending on what you're trying to do. So this is the way I've been doing it. We can confirm after this and see what's going on. So I don't mind checking with the team here about how exactly this is working at the moment. I'll make a note for myself. But the more important thing is that this is going to be changing, hopefully within the week here, you know, possibly even by the end of this week. So TBD on that. So it'll be useful for a couple of days here, but I do not know if it'll be useful going into the weekend. So keep your guys' eyes out on the announcement channel. And I'm making a note how late swap is filling average ROI or specific. So I will check on that. All right. With that said, that is our last question in both the YouTube chat and the Office Hours channel. So appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back here in about 25 minutes for our build review show. Looking forward to it as always. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.